Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan, my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Joe, my pronouns are they, them.
I'm John, my pronouns are he, his.
Hello, John!
Hello, John!
Welcome back!
It's good to be back.
Yay!
It's been like a year.
It has, yeah. Yeah, it's been a minute. yeah, we're gonna a little bit later talk about some good ideas for gifting this holiday season. Yeah. We just got our holiday catalog, so we're gonna go through that a little bit, give some of our own recommendations, and also, like, if you're listening to this the day it comes out on Tuesday, tomorrow, come to the bookstore because we are having a rep picks night. Ooh. Where some of our pub reps, our publisher reps, are coming to the bookstore to give some recommendations, and a few of us will also be giving our own little bookseller recommendations as well. It's going to be a good time.
And then we have end of the week.
Midnight Merriment!
Again, if you're listening to this the week it comes out,
yeah.
That on Friday we'll have our special
December
Midnight
December 1st. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's already Midnight Merriment time. Like, I feel like it's still Halloween. I'm so confused.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't know what happened.
Christmas things, that's not possible.
But yeah.
In fairness, it's the earliest it could possibly be.
That is true.
The first Friday in December, which happens to be the first.
It happens to be December 1st, so it did sneak up on us this year.
Yes.
But yeah, increasing discount throughout the night if you are here. 5 to 8 p.m., it's 5% off. 8 to 9, it's 10%. Off everything in the store. It continues to increase until the final discount of 11 p.m. to midnight, 25% off everything in the store with some restrictions.
Very few restrictions.
It's basically everything in the store. And then online from 6 to midnight with the code midnight, everything is 20% off. So you can still get a sale day even if you can't be with us in person.
And it's always worth mentioning, it's a great time to pre-order books. Because if you prepay for your pre-orders, you get the discount. And then it's a little surprise. It can be your reward for doing your holiday shopping.
Absolutely.
Get a little
present for yourself
the future.
Yes. And as we have so many pre-order recommendations, we have a whole display of them. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
We have a whole display of pre-orders. So you can do that while you're getting your holiday shopping for everyone else. It's going to be a good time. So we've got some fun stuff coming up. But before we get into our actual holiday book recommendations, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been reading recently. John, do you want to start?
Sure. The Slow Horses series by Mick Herron is very good. They're spy stories, but they're humorous spy stories. But they're also a bit tongue-in-cheek. Those are very good because it involves British spies in MI6, and they are the spies who have made a major screw-up. So they're sent to what is called Slow House, so they're called Slow Horses, and they're sort of given busy work and terrible routine stuff in the hopes that they will quit, because it's easier to make them quit than to go through the process of actually dismissing them.
Interesting.
So, but they still get involved in various spy stuff and saving Britain and saving the world and stuff. But they're very well done. It's just a great series. And there's a Apple TV series based on it, which is very
cool.
Good too.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What else? A couple of recent books. UFO by Garrett Graff, which just came out, which is actually, it's a history of the government's, the U.S. government's reaction to the UFO phenomena, which goes back to the late 1940s when the term flying saucer first became applied to UFOs. And the government, there was enough people seeing them and stuff that the government felt they had to get involved because they thought it was Russian spy stuff.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
This was the height of the Cold War, so they had to figure out what they were. And over the years, the government has vacillated between really caring about them and just wanting to have nothing to do with them and forget about them and bury them. So, it's a complex story that continues to this day because they've UFOs or unexplained aerial phenomena, UAP, whatever they call it. You know, they're still in the news. People are still seeing them. Who knows what they're seeing? But so the government is still trying to deal with it, and you know, trying to balance their need for secrecy, which they always have, and you know, the need to be open and reassure people that you know.
We're not being invaded by aliens.
So
I'm sure you know this, John, because you know lots of trivia, but the first reported alien abduction was in Franconia Notch. At least of the modern stuff,
New Hampshire has a little bit of history, both with Betty and Barney Hill, who were the couple who were supposedly abducted. And there was a famous incident, famous UFO sighting in Exeter.
Oh my God.
Which someone wrote a book about in, you know, called Incident at Exeter. That was a pretty famous one back in the day.
Look at us go.
So, you know, for a small state, we had our share of stuff happening.
Cool.
So,
it's funny, when I was in college, we had a guy come to talk about aliens or whatever, just for like a fun event, and it should have been like really fun and interesting, but actually he kind of just yelled at us for an hour because he assumed nobody believed him, so he kind of was just really aggressive and angry, and everyone was like, I came here for UFO stories and you're yelling at me because you think I don't believe you, but I was fully prepared to believe you, so okay, bye. So we all just left, like, really disappointed because we didn't get, like, abduction stories like we wanted. We just got lectures about how no one believes them. We were like, well, okay, well, you should really change up your presentation, my friend.
Indeed.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I like the idea of looking at it as, like, from the not speculative side,
from the actual government side, what we can kind of confirm or what we do know,
as opposed to, you know, just what people think.
But it's a book that I think will appeal both to skeptics, which is where I trend towards, and believers, because it's you know, it's a history of the whole thing, and it is a.
Yeah.
Whether there are aliens visiting us or not, there's something that has happened.
Yeah. And
there is a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Or phenomena. You know,
that's cool. I know, yeah. It's like enough people have claimed to have seen them that there's clearly something going on, whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, just the government testing their own stuff or what. But Joe, what have you been...
I've read a few things, stuff that's forthcoming, and so one book that I should have written down when it's coming out, it's next year, I think it is like June or July, The Anthropologists by Esagul Savas, I'm guessing on the name pronunciation, I forgot to look it up. It is a little novella, it's not even 200 pages, and it is... about a couple living in a city, it's never specified where, they are immigrants, but it's not specified where they're coming from, but they're trying to buy an apartment in this city, and trying to kind of build a life for themselves, and it's, I feel like the best word to describe the book is lonely, like it's that kind of just... figuring out how to be a person and be an adult, and especially far from your family, and just trying to navigate it. It has some really, really great scenes of having parents visit There was one part that, like, really resonated with me from when I was living abroad of how having family visit, you go do all the touristy things for, like, a week, and then you have the last, like, meal, and suddenly everything gets real, and it's like, okay, what's going on with your life? What are you doing? Where are we going?
Mm.
And, yeah, so it was just really brilliant. I thought it was really beautiful, and I am planning to read. The author has two other books,
nice.
And I really, really liked that one. The other book that's forthcoming that I have been reading is Henry Henry by Alan Bratton. It is coming out in April. It is a modern retelling of Shakespeare's Henriad, so Henry the Fourth's Part 1 and 2, and Henry the Fifth, so it's about Hal. It's set in 2014 London. It's queer. It's so good. It's so well written. For those of you who care, mm-hmm. and I am one, it is the first book that Brandon Taylor acquired when he joined the Unnamed Press.
Okay.
So I was, as soon as I heard Brandon Taylor was attached, mm-hmm. and a retelling of Shakespeare history plays, I was so excited, and it has not let me down. I will definitely say it gets dark, and definitely check trigger warnings on Storygraph. Mm. Currently there aren't any, but once I finish it, I will post some. But it's really gorgeously written, and it's, you know, about relationships with fathers and trying to navigate trauma. So, really gorgeous book. And then I have been reading Enter Ghost by Isabella Hamad. It came out earlier this year. It is about an actress. Her family is from Palestine. She lives in England. And she's visiting her sister who lives in Palestine. And she gets roped into playing Gertrude in a production of Hamlet in the West Bank that is in Arabic, and beautifully written again. And it's a really interesting look at kind of Shakespeare in this colonial context, and what Shakespeare means outside of this very British ideal. And yeah, I'm really, really enjoying that one a lot. And I had actually started that book and realized I didn't understand the history behind it as well as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up reading The Hundred Years War on Palestine by Rashid Khalidi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really great overview of the past 100 years in that part of the world. So those are the things I've been reading most recently.
Cool.
Really liking all of them.
Yeah. And bouncing off of your last one, I just want to say that I did put a list in. If you look at our website under the curated lists, we do have a curated list of Palestinian authors. It's under the heading Free Palestine. So if you click on Free Palestine, there's a bunch of books written by Palestinian authors. So a lot of them are out of stock and hard to get, just, you know, for various reasons, but you know, if you're not on a tight timeline, you can order them from us. Cool. So last time we recorded, I had read 2 books.
Yeah.
I was like, well, happy October. I read 2 books this month. I was a little busy. But this month, as of recording, I've read 14 books.
Excellent.
I made up for lost time. In my defense, I had started like 8 books and just hadn't finished any of them, so I did finish all of those.
Classic Ryan.
Classic me. I go nothing and then everything. So yeah, so the first one I finished, The Angel of Indian Lake by Stephen Graham Jones.
Oh. So excited.
It's so good. So it's the third book in the Indian Lake trilogy. It comes out in March of 2024. It's as far as we know, our last book with Jade Daniels.
I'm wearing my Jade Daniels t-shirt.
Joe is wearing Jade Daniels as my final girl. Sam just ordered her shirt.
Good, good. So we can do a picture of all of us. Good. Yes. All right.
It's great. If you haven't read the first two books yet, I would highly encourage, if you're a fan of slashers, these books are the slasheriest slasher books I've ever read. And the third one is so much more brutal and bloody than the first two combined. I lost count of the number of deaths like a third of the way through. And it's really fun because it's a mix of, oh, these people are actively being murdered by a slasher, and also like, wrong place, wrong time. So there are aspects of like, Tucker and Dale versus Evil of like, oh no, the teenagers are killing themselves. Like, there's like some of that in there. There is, you know, villain or villains. I won't give it away. It is a bloodbath in the best, best way. And Jade Daniels continues to be just one of my favorite literary characters of all time. Yeah. She's incredible. She continues to be like, no, I'm not a final girl. I'm not built to be a final girl. I've never been the final girl. I never will be the final girl. And you're off to the side sitting there like, girl, you're the final girl. What are you saying? It's so good. And I am so deeply honored that Saga Press sent me an early, early, early bound manuscript signed by Stephen Graham Jones. I don't know what I did to deserve that. Well, I do. I was unhinged on Edelweiss. That's what I did to deserve that. But yeah, really good. Definitely pre-order that one. And honestly, I will probably reread the entire trilogy at some point now, like as a finished unit, because now I know Jade Daniels so well. I want to go back to her introduction and like read her again.
Yeah.
She's great.
Little baby Jade.
Little baby Jade when she's just in high school. She's so cute. Another one, I read a few forthcoming books. I just finished a book that comes out next August.
Wow.
It's called Hum by Helen Phillips. Mm. I love Helen Phillips. I met her years ago at a promotional dinner when she was about to come out with her book, The Need, which is a very, like, eerie book about paranoia and motherhood. Super, super good. And this one is, again, it's about motherhood, and it's very eerie, and there is also, like, AI and, you know, futuristic technology, and it really is about how difficult it can be to be a mother in this world, and also just like a human person who makes mistakes. It is very dystopian, with like a glimpse at utopia, sort of. It's really interesting. So it takes place in the not-so-distant future where the world has just been ravaged by climate change, and, you know, the cities are just, like, burned to a crisp, and the air quality is absolutely god-awful. And there are these AI robots called HUMs, H-U-M, and they kind of just roam around and kind of do AI type things. You know, they're just kind of there. And the book opens with the main character getting a procedure, getting like plastic surgery on her face to make her face unreadable by technology.
Ooh, okay.
So she still looks like herself, but it's just slightly off that like cameras can't figure out her face, like they just can't. But like to her peers, like she still looks pretty much the same, like subtle changes, but they can still recognize her. she's doing this procedure to for money. It's an experimental procedure, so they're like, we'll give you this huge sum of money. And she's like, great, we need this, because she's just lost her job and all this stuff. She uses a chunk of money to book a little mini vacation for her family in these botanical gardens in the middle of the city. And it's really interesting because they go to these botanical gardens, and it's like just going into the woods, and they stay in a cabin, and there's like waterfalls, but it's this little mini utopia in the middle of this just ravaged, burnt to a crisp city. Like, on the outside, it's Mad Max. On the inside, it's, like, our normal woods.
Interesting.
There's like, animals and things thriving, but you have to be, like, uber rich to get into this little botanical garden. And she encourages her whole family to leave behind all of their tech, their phones. The kids have these thing called bunnies, which is basically like an Apple Watch kind of.
Okay.
But literally, like, when she takes off her kids' bunnies, like, it rips their, like it's painful for them. Uh-huh. So whether that's just because of how long they've been wearing them and they've just kind of done that, or if there's, she doesn't really get into it, but it does like hurt the kids a little bit. So they leave behind their technology, and while they're in the botanical gardens, the kids get lost. And she seeks help from a hum who is in there, and the hum obviously is recording everything, and pieces of her saying, you know, my kids, they don't have bunnies, I don't have my phone, whatever, get uploaded to the internet while they're there. She finds the kids. They're fine. But when she leaves the botanical gardens, she's gone viral as this horrible mother, anti-bunny, like, neglectful person. And so that's where, like, all these complications arise as, like, this person in this world where, like, she did what she thought was right, and is, like, slapped in the face by it. And you know, it's like she had trusted this hum, and then the hum, you know, maybe betrayed her, or maybe it just got uploaded. You know, it's like this very interesting, very tense little glimpse into this world. It's very character-driven. It's a short little book, and I really, really loved it. And, like, Helen Phillips, like, again, like, with same as with The Need, like, she just puts this, like, pressure on your heart where you're just like, oh, God, like, what would I do in this situation? Like, this is, like, my nightmare. It's really, really good. So that comes out in August, and I highly recommend people pre-order it, because I think it's going to be a big book next year. A couple others. I listened to Midnight on Beacon Street by Emily Ruth Verona. That one comes out in January, and it is a super good horror novel about a babysitter, which is like so my vibe. It's great. It's I almost like don't even want to give too much away, because I feel like it was like pretty short. It reminded me a little bit of the Stephen Graham Jones audiobook, The Babysitter Lives, but it's less supernatural, less paranormal, and it's more just like real people. but it's a babysitter. She's babysitting a couple of kids for their single mom, and people show up and bad things happen, and it's great. It's great. The kids are fine. I will say that. The kids are fine. But it is for anyone who likes, you know, the Halloween horror movies. It references those a lot. The main character is a big fan of slashers. It's really good. Very tense. It kind of bounces around in time and perspectives. So it'll be like, it'll be her perspective in the moment, and then it'll be like one of the kids' perspectives like an hour before that, and then it'll be like her perspective like when she was a kid being babysat, and then it'll be the other kid like a few hours earlier in the night. And so it like plays around in time and reveals these little things. It's very good and very spooky. Let's see, I did read another horror novel. It's like a horror comedy. It was called Suburban Hell by Maureen Kilmer. It came out earlier this year. It's a fun one. If folks are looking for like a Grady Hendrix type, just like some horror comedy, it's light on the horror. It reminded me a little bit of my best friend's exorcism.
Okay.
It's like someone took my best friend's exorcism, and then his other book, the Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, and like mushed them together. It takes place in this little suburban neighborhood where there's like a group of moms who became friends, you know, at like kid drop off at like an event one time when they were all like, we all hate this, right? Yeah. We hate these events and stuff. They all became friends and they have like weekly or monthly hangouts. And one of their friends starts acting very unlike herself and very strange. And they're like, is she possessed? What's going on? And so it's these suburban moms who have to like team up together to like fight this evil in their suburban neighborhood. It is silly, but honestly, it's also pretty good. It's pretty good horror. Fairly mild, doesn't get very graphic, and it's a good time. I feel like it's the type of horror novel you read, like, while sipping a glass of wine. Like, just kind of, like, chuckling to yourself, you know? So I liked that one a lot. I read a fantasy novel that Elizabeth recommended, and I'm so glad she did. Called The Unmaking of June Farrow by Adrienne Young.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good cover. I keep getting distracted by the cover.
Pretty. Yeah. It's so pretty. And the book is so pretty. This book, and I will probably talk about it again when I talk about gift books, because this is the type of book that you get for the person who loved, like, The Starless Sea and The 10,000 Doors of January. Like, it is absolutely in that vein of, you know, person discovers a door, they go through the door, and things happen. In this case, she goes back in time and discovers things about herself and her family, and discovers that she was/is in this time married to someone else. Yeah, it is really, really good. It's a great book. Really fun, really fantastical. Loved it. A fun one, that is a fictionalized book about a real person is called The Glutton by A.K. Blakemore.
I read this too. I had it on my list for gift books, actually.
Oh, I'm so glad! Yeah. It's about my favorite hungry boy. Tarar! Oh, I love him so much. If any of our listeners also listen to Jack of All Graves, they have talked about Tarar twice already. Completely coincidentally, by accident, they didn't mean to talk about him twice, they just did. This guy, what I find so funny about The Glutton, the book, is that the real story is so much weirder than the book is. The book leaves out a lot of details because the truth is so much stranger than the fiction, and people would be like, this is unrealistic. Terrar was this guy in France who, I mean, they literally, like, describe his body like a human snake. He could unhinge his jaw. He could carry around a dozen eggs in his mouth at one time. And if you looked down, like, his gullet, like, if you looked straight down his mouth, you could just see all the way through. Like, he was just one single tube. He was a skinny little guy, but forever eating, just always eating, was never, could never, like, fulfill his hunger. He would eat, in addition to, like, metal, like, he would swallow, like, wooden boxes, like, the French tried to use him as a spy at one point. He also would eat, live animals. He was, like, a circus act. It was rumored that maybe he ate a live baby, or more than one live baby. Some babies went missing in the hospital where he was staying.
I will admit, every time there was an animal, I just, like, skipped forward on
That's
the audiobook.
Fair.
I was like, nope, can't.
That's
my
fair.
Cat is sitting on my lap right now, can't do this.
Yeah, that's fair. So he was a real interesting guy. History doesn't really know what his deal was, because he died long before real autopsies were a thing. There are a lot of theories about, you know, a variety of things that may have occurred, from, you know, maybe there was, like, some sort of birth defect that he had, and then also he had, like, a thyroid thing, and then also he had this other thing, like, that maybe there were several things that all culminated into Terrar, but no one knows for sure. But the descriptions of him are consistent throughout history. He was a very interesting dude. So the glutton is basically him on his deathbed telling his story to a nun. Yeah. They leave out, like, they make it seem like it was, like, a brain injury that just made him hungry all the time. No. My guy was basically a snake. It was, he was so just a straight tube that he was just constantly evacuating his body at all times. And the people in France described him as being so stinky that, like, you could smell him within, like, I want to say a mile. Like, people in France just wouldn't go near, like, they, like, would gag if they got too close to him, because he was, like, rotting on the inside. Like, my dude was a stinky boy. none of that is really in the book. So, the book is fantastic, though. I highly recommend it.
I think one thing I really liked and thought was interesting was he lived during the French Revolution. That's the time period. And the book definitely goes a little into this idea of gluttony and, like, consumption in line with the French Revolution. Because obviously that is a part of that period. I mean, obviously we all know let them eat cake isn't real.
Right.
A real quote, but that was very much a thing of the consumption of Versailles and the upper class, and that everybody else was starving. And so looking at this person who did not live a life where he could consume as much as he did, and those implications. And I know our coworker Kate really loved this.
Loved it. It was one of her first ever staff picks. And I was like, Kate, we need to discuss. I love this guy.
How do you spell Terrar?
Tarare. He's a fascinating dude. I adore him.
I would say, because I had this in my gift list, a good gift for people who like historical fiction, but also, like, really weird stories. Like, it's definitely not for, like, the person who, like, straight up, you know, like, historical fiction, but if they kind of like weird and sort of gross like thing.
Fringe stories. Yeah. Like, yeah. Where it's like, it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, almost a folklore element. Like, yeah. It's clear this guy existed and things happened, but unclear, like, yeah, everything.
Yeah. But yeah, again, if you read it, just know that the truth is even weirder. And then, of course, I had to read The Woman in Me by Britney Spears.
Obviously.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, Brit. Oh, honey. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things I said about you when I was 12. Oh, God. Right. I didn't know. I'm sorry. This poor girl. Just let her live her life. It's great. It's great. It's really fun. I listened to the audiobook of it, which is read by Michelle Williams. And Brittany does the introduction to it and basically confirms what I had assumed, which is, yeah, I wrote all this out. I don't want to relive it by reading my own audiobook. And, I don't really want to hang out in a recording booth right now. Yeah. So, enjoy. Goodbye.
Fair.
It is fascinating. It is written exactly the way she talks. It's very stream of consciousness, and it's just a lot of stories from her life, and you will not be a super huge fan of Justin Timberlake at the end of it.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out there.
If you were still a huge fan of his by now,
you haven't
paid attention.
Sorry. And then I'm currently reading a book called This Is Not a Book About Benedict Cumberbatch by Tabitha Carvin. And it is and it isn't. It's a book about fandom and pop culture obsessions and things like that. And it's really fun. It's this woman who just... she can't even pinpoint why it happened, but suddenly one day she was just completely drawn to Benedict Cumberbatch.
I can't relate to this.
She became just, and it wasn't even during the Sherlock era. It was right at the end of it. It was
wild.
Right at the end of the Sherlock time, the Super Hulock era of Tumblr.
Why would you say that in front of me, Ryan?
I was in it. I was in it. I was in the trenches. And it's really fun. She becomes completely obsessed with Benedict Cumberbatch, completely consumed by this man, and she begins writing this book about it and interviews these other people who are also obsessed with Benedict Cumberbatch, but also people who are are just very into fandom and writing fan fiction and things like that. And so she really explores kind of the world of fandom and of becoming obsessed with celebrity and things like that. So I'm listening to that right now, and it's really fun. And I just keep giggling to myself because she just keeps being like, I don't know what it is. I just love this guy. I'm like, that's so fair. Fair enough, honey. Yeah,
Ryan and I have never simultaneously become obsessed with any celebrity.
Of course not. Could
about.
Never be
We
us.
Never did a Pedro Pascal display.
We don't do fandom.
No.
No. Couldn't be us. It's entirely us. Okay. So, yeah. So, that's what I've read several other things, too, but I will leave it there because those were my favorites. So let's get into the holidays.
Yay.
The holidays are coming, and you've got lots of friends and family to buy books for, because obviously that's the only thing you should be giving for any holidays, books.
Yeah.
It's the best gift. Why would you give anything else?
I either make something for somebody or they get a book. Those are the two things you can get from me. Maybe a puzzle.
Yes, unless you're my children, in which I guess I have to do other things as well. But
they get a healthy dose of
they
books.
They get a lot of books, too. So we have some recommendations. We are going to go through the holiday catalog, which is put together by, publishers and NEBA and the good folks. So those have some very good recommendations, and then we will, I in particular have several recommendations from books that I read throughout the year, and yeah. I'm basically just going to do like little one sentence blurbs because I've talked about all of these books on the podcast, so I won't rehash what they're about. I'm just gonna, you know, I'll go down my list and be like, get this for the person in your life who
don't. I have that too.
Yay! But let's go through the catalog a little bit and talk about some of the cool things that are in there that we can recommend for gifts. And also, this catalog is available on our website, which obviously I will link in the show notes. But you can, it is a nice little shoppable catalog on our website as well, which is very nice.
We have plenty of physical catalogs in the store.
Yes, please. So many, please like come take them.
Please ask us if you don't have one in your bag already. We try to put them in the bags ahead of time, but if you don't get one, please, please take one.
And if you want to grab a bunch and then treat it like it's the Scholastic Book Fair and circle your favorites and give them out to your family, you can do that as well. Or give them to your family and have them circle things and give them back to you. You can do that as well. Let's get into it.
Well, let me, can I?
Yes,
just
please.
Mention The Mystery Guest by Nita Prose, which is a sequel to her novel The Maid. Which was a big bestseller, a nice mystery. And her original book, The Maid, is not to be confused with the nonfiction memoir called The Maid. But this comes out Tuesday, so...
Yay! So the day this podcast drops,
so if you have a mystery lover or someone who you know read The Maid, which many people did and loved, this will be there.
Awesome. That's great. I think it's also the Indie Next
number
that's
one
right.
pick.
Yes, it is. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so well reviewed by indie booksellers. So.
Yes.
So. That is
awesome. What else we got?
I was looking at one, which, so I haven't read it, but I was looking at it today. It was Times Square Remade by Lynn B. Sagalin. And it is a, like, political, sociological history of Times Square. And it has, like, it's not a coffee table book exactly, but it's a bigger book and has a lot of, like, photos in it. And I think it's just really interesting because, for those who maybe don't know, in the, like, 80s, 90s, the Times Square was really remade. My mom... refers to as the Disneyfication of Times Square. And, like, I always grew up kind of hearing it as a positive thing of, like, oh, finally, Times Square is this safe and, like... But as I've gotten older and learned more about it, like, it pushed a lot of people out. It was a very gentrifying moment. And obviously there can be pros and cons to it, but it is not this black and white, like, oh... They got rid of all the scary people.
Right.
The scary people had a right to be there too, and
weren't as scary.
And yeah, they were humans who maybe were just doing things that the political actors did not approve of or like. So I think I definitely am interested in reading this one and just looking a little bit more into that history of this area. That whether you have spent a lot of time in New York or not, you certainly have a strong sense of what this place is. And I think that's a really interesting concept.
That sounds really good. I also saw that Looking Glass Sound by Katrina Ward is in the catalog, and 10 out of 10, highly recommend. Love that book. She, of course, wrote The Last House on Needless Street and Sundial and some others, and I think Looking Glass Sound is her best so far. So I won't go into the whole, like, what it's about, but because I've talked about it before, but... she's fantastic, and that book is excellent. So get that for one of the horror fans in your life. Yeah. What else we got in there?
We have so much, but...
So much. And we have this display in the store as well. So come into the store and check out the display.
Moving on, there's a lot of good nonfiction in here. Well, Joe just mentioned one. I think, which looks like a neat book, is Entangled Life, the illustrated edition.
Yes.
By Merlin Sheldrake, all about fungi, and who are our friends. And for the most part. Sometimes enemies, but it's just a nice, beautiful illustrated book. If you liked Entangled Life and you want to give them the illustrated edition. It's worth the extra few pennies you'll have to pay.
Yeah.
And you could, like, combine it with some Spore.
Yeah.
Give Entangled Life and also Ghost Eaters.
And, like, even a foraging guide. Like, I feel like mushrooms
do like a mushroom
are having
basket.
A moment. Or, I mean, but,
they've
like,
been having a moment.
They've been
yeah.
having a moment. But, yeah. like, I feel like most people know somebody who's, like, really interested in mushrooms, whether it's foraging or just, like, saw fantastic fungi.
Fantastic fungi, yeah.
Fungi, yeah, fungi. I just remember I was working at the local theater at the time, and people would come out of that movie crying. They're like, "Oh my god, mushrooms are magical!"
They are so magical.
Yeah, so like, if you have a person in your life who was super into that,
absolutely.
Good for that.
I will also just throw in a few that are not in the catalog, but just would make good gifts. We can kind of it'll be an ongoing conversation. A book that came out very recently that I really, really loved is Starling House by Alex E. Harrow. Get this for the person in your life who loves really gorgeous fantasy novels that lean a little bit into spooky territory. And also get this for the Beauty and the Beast fan in your life, because it has big Beauty and the Beast vibes. and like a sentient house that acts, you know, has, like, the temperament of an annoyed cat.
And it's a lot more romantic than I was expecting it to be. Which
It is, it's really beautiful. Yeah. It's really beautiful, so, highly recommend that one.
Another one from the catalog, and then I'll get into some of my stuff, is Scattershot by Bernie Taupin. For those who don't know, he did a lot of the lyrics and has been a collaborator with Elton John for decades. As of right now, we still have signed copies of the book. I have not read it yet, but I am going to buy it for my mother. Hopefully she's not listening. Maybe she is. Who knows? And
she'll forget.
She'll forget. Ryan knows my mom. But just an interesting for people who like Elton John and might want a slightly different look at this. And I think I would be interested in reading it because I think it's a fascinating idea of, like, writing lyrics for some of these extremely famous songs, but not writing them. Like, I have never been able to mentally get around this idea of lyricists and people writing the music, like, as a separate
thing.
I think it looks really interesting, and you definitely have somebody in your family who would be fascinated by this.
Absolutely. Let me bust through a couple other that aren't horror, because you know that most of my list is horror. For the person who loves fantasies and indie bookstores and cozy books, please, please get them Bookshops and Bone Dust by Travis Baldry. It is the prequel to Legends and Lattes, and it is so good. They can read it even if they didn't read Legends and Lattes, because it takes place 20 years before the events of Legends and Lattes. But also get it for the person who loved Legends and Lattes, too.
Or get them both.
Or get them both if they haven't read it. Yeah. It is such a love letter to indie bookstores. Like, specifically independent bookstores. And booksellers. And it is so, so cute. Viv, our main character, in the events of this one, is still an active battle orc, but she gets injured at the beginning and is forced into rest in this little small town. And while she's there, she ends up helping out this, like, bookshop owner fix up the bookshop and make it better. And it's so cute. She, like, organizes an author event, and she like invents blind date with a book. And, like, it's so cute. It's so cute. And she like
don't
like,
tell Elizabeth.
I know. I literally was like, Elizabeth, you need this book. And it's like, it's so cute. She like discovers that she's like really good at hand selling and like, oh my God, it is precious. And of course you meet a couple of characters in this one who show up later in Legends and Lattes, and like, it's so cozy. It does have slightly more adventure than Legends and Lattes. So there is like, there's like a subplot of like some baddies coming to town looking for something that whatever. So I won't give that part away, but it never gets like, I don't know, dangerous. Like it's still very cozy and sweet, and yeah, you'll read it in like one sitting while sipping coffee. Like it's delightful. And then, a couple for the foodies in your life. If you have someone who is like really into food and also likes humor and essays, you should get them Raw Dog.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, we're having our rep pick night, and I was like, I'm not sure if I can pitch the horny socialist hot dog book to the room of people. I don't know who's coming to this, but it's so good. And
it's like, so good.
It's so funny, and she's the best.
Yeah.
Ugh,
it's really funny, Jamie. And it's just like a history of hot dogs, and also just Jamie traveling the country eating hot dogs and like breaking up with her boyfriend, and like it's amazing.
It's incredible. She's raiding hot dog joints. She goes to the hot dog eating contest. She has a lot of opinions about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, some of you have probably heard in multiple podcast episodes she's done on this topic.
I love her. I love this book. I cackled my way through it. It's so, so much fun. I don't even like hot dogs that much. And same. I was, like, obsessed with this book.
And it makes me want to like hot dogs more and, like, try them. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this is a moment.
And then for the person in your life who loves food, but as, like, food as love, food as comfort. I highly, highly recommend Saturday Night at the Lakeside Supper Club by J. Ryan Straddle. This novel is just like, it's multi-generational family stories, drama, and it centers around this supper club. And the descriptions of the food are very good. but also, like, the family, the people in the novel are, you fall in love with them. You love them. Some of them you love to hate, but most of them you just love. J. Ryan Straddle was on the podcast, so go back and listen to that episode if you want more info about that one. But yeah, I really, really loved that book. It almost like took me by surprise in how much I loved it. Like, I knew I was gonna like it because I've liked his other books, but this one, it just blew me away. So those are two books for the people in your life who like food. You could get them both, I guess, but they are for very different people, I think.
Could I?
Yes.
And that makes a nice segue. There's a lot of good cookbooks in the catalog, and there's some others that I would recommend. I mean, the one in the catalog is Start Here by, let me get her name right, or their name right, Sola L. Wiley.
Okay.
Wiley. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it, but it's a great introductory cookbook. It's obviously it's just come out. I haven't really cooked from it, but it's just nicely set up and nicely organized with lots of pictures, very step by step to help you through things. And I think it's one of the better learn to cook cookbooks that I've seen.
That's awesome.
And it's yeah, she's she has a social media presence and TikTok and stuff, and she's very good. Another one is The French Chef Cookbook has been reissued by Julia Child.
Ooh.
this is a much easier introduction to Julia Child than buying The Art of Mastering French Cooking, which is much more thorough. But, you know, this came out later. It was based on her TV shows.
Right.
And it's a nice, beautiful edition. So that would make a great gift for somebody. Big Heart, Little Stove by Erin French, who's from Freedom, Maine. She has her restaurant, The Lost Kitchen, which is impossible to get into.
Yes.
So buy the cookbook and you can, you know.
Have it at home.
Have it at home, yes. It won't be quite the same, I'm sure. And another nice looking one, which again has just come out, Invitation to a Banquet by Fuchsia Dunlop. It's just the history of Chinese food.
Mm.
So if someone on your list is interested in more about the history rather than recipes, because Chinese food is vast and fascinating, and it's there's a lot more to it than poo-poo platters, and which aren't really Chinese, of course, but
American,
more of a Polynesian thing.
Yeah.
But that's part of the history too, is American Chinese and how it changed. So that is that would be a nice gift.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
Few that I had that weren't in the catalog. I just read Chang Gang All Stars by Nana Kwame Ajay-Brenya. Sorry if I mispronounced that. It is a book that came out earlier this year. Everybody was talking about it. It was shortlisted for the National Book Award. It's perfect for somebody who loves a dystopia.
Mm.
It is about a future in which incarcerated people are given the option to join a gladiator fight, and if they win a certain number of fights, they will be allowed to back into the regular world. But all of the fights are fights to the death, so you know, the chances that they die are much higher. And so it's looking at, you know, prison industrial complex, the, you know, what people will do and what people are willing to do to get out of this system. It's really fascinating and interesting, and I think a new take on dystopias. And it was really well written, so... If you have somebody who has been just reading, like, all of the dystopias that have come out, I think this one is really well done. I also want to mention, not that I haven't talked about these books endlessly on the podcast, but the Freya Mars Last Binding series is completed. All three books are out: A Marvelous Life, A Restless Truth, and A Power Unbound.
Mm.
So if you have somebody who likes queer magic and historical fiction and romance, you can get them a whole series and just bundle them all up together, and it would be great. Love those books. I'm also going to mention Deep as the Sky, Red as the Sea by Rita Chang Epping. I've talked about this a lot on the podcast. We had her on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's great. I did recently have a revelation, which I think some listeners will care to hear this, that the main character in the book goes by Shek Yung, but she had other names, and it's Zheng Zhizhao, who is on Our Flag Means Death, and there's an episode of Doctor Who. So it's about Chinese pirates, if somebody's obsessed with pirates, which who isn't right now? They should be. And it's
always
gorgeous, and it's really well-detailed historical fiction.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to our interview with Rita.
Yeah,
she's
really
amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
I will jump off of that for continuing the line of thinking of historical fiction, especially if they like that little extra bit of magic in there as well.
Mm.
The Weaver and the Witch Queen by Genevieve Gornicek is phenomenal. And I mean, her other book as well, if they haven't read that one yet, but The Weaver and the Witch Queen came out this year. And yeah, it's like historical fiction with like a little bit of magic and some romance, and it's real, real good. So highly recommend that.
Nice.
Oh, for the person in your life who likes, I have a couple for the people in your life who are like interested in like Hollywood, but different facets of it. So for the person who wants like a peek behind the curtain at Hollywood, but also like the way Hollywood treats women and the way Hollywood treats people with disabilities, American Mermaid.
Yeah.
Is I've heard really good things about that. It's by Julian Langbein, and it is, really bittersweet. It is sad, but also at times very empowering. But like, yeah, it's this really interesting look. It's about a woman who is raised as human and is confined to a wheelchair, and she turns out she's a mermaid. And her family was like stole her from the ocean. But also it's like it's about a writer in Hollywood trying to get her book made into a movie, and the way they're treating her and the way they're totally treating her book and trying to, you know, sexualize it, when in reality it's this like look at disability and things like that. And they're like, nah, we're gonna make her a sexy mermaid. And she's like, that's not what it, okay. Fascinating, really, really beautiful novel. And then the other one for the person who likes Hollywood, but likes Hollywood drama and like celebrity gossip, The Daydreams by Laura Hankin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was my, like, summer reading pick. Yeah. Like, this was, yeah, which I think there are some, like, yeah, if they like Daisy Jones and the Six, any of that sort of faux Hollywood drama.
Super fun. It's like a cast reunion of, like, a 90s show where, like, something happened in the finale and everything went off the rails and you are, trying to figure out what happened throughout the book, and yeah, it's just lots of drama and like gossip, and it's really fun.
And it's like it's a kids show or teen show. It's like it's very Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, coded. And I think we were talking about Britney Spears earlier. Like there has been a lot of that over the past few years.
Yeah.
These people who were idealized in our youth, who were like, oh my gosh, that was, I'm sorry.
Yeah, oh, turns out that was deeply messed up, and we apologize retroactively. Yeah. And then also for the person who, for the like 90s kid, for the millennial in your life, who has a lot of nostalgia for 90s like PBS shows, Mr. Magic by Kirsten White is so deeply unsettling and really, really good, and like fully captures the uncanny valley of like 90s public access television and just how utterly bizarre those shows were. And then it takes it one step further because it's a horror novel, so of course it does.
Kind of jumping off of that in terms of the look behind the curtain, whatever, gossipy-ish, Yellowface by R.
Oh,
It's remains the best book I've read all year. I read it in January. It is a look at publishing. It simultaneously is a really in-depth look at like race and racism and the publishing industry, as well as being compulsively readable and like really, it's like doing one of those deep dives into a Twitter thread of like, so this person did this and then this person said that and this, and which anyone who works with me knows that that is a hobby of mine, is like tracking down all the gossip on TikTok.
It's true.
I do find it fascinating. And I think it's really brilliant the way that Arif Hwang is able to marry these two things, where it is a really complex, like, interesting, critical look at the publishing industry, while also just being such a good read. Really, really like that one.
Yeah. Do we want to dip back into the catalog briefly? Are there some others I know, there's so many. So many good ones.
I can mention a couple things that I know our children's buyer, Heather, has really liked. We have Fix and Stitch by Barbara Nass, which is a picture book about a squirrel tailor who makes all of his friends little costumes or outfits to help them, you know, live their lives easier. It's adorable and great. And then Skandar and the Phantom Rider by A.F. Stedman is a sequel to Skandar the Unicorn.
It's the first Skandar book.
It's the first Skandar book. She's obsessed with this series.
Yeah, she is.
Really fun unicorn rider story.
And it's more of like a warrior type. Like, it's not like a pixie magic type unicorn. Like, they are warriors.
Corey Percy Jackson fan is kind of the impression I get.
Yeah.
And then the other one I will mention is The Many Assassinations of Samir, the Seller of Dreams by Daniel Neyeri and Daniel Miaris. She was obsessed with Daniel Neyeri's first book. She loved this one as well. I will definitely say his books tend to be a little bit dark, but really gorgeous. And this one's described as a picturesque epic adventure. And yeah, he won a Prince Medal for his first book. So, really well-told story.
Nice.
Yeah, and that reminds me that I'd forgotten this was in the catalog, Chinese Menu by Grace Lin. I think is could be an appropriate gift for any age. And what she does is she talks about various famous Chinese dishes, say like General Tso's chicken, and she talks about its real history, and she talks about what you know, or sometimes it's speculation because the history of foods is not always known or clear cut. And she also gives a story of the myth, the sort of the folklore behind it, like what General Tso did and stuff.
Interesting.
If there really was a General Tso and what he supposedly did to and have this dish named after him and how it's come down to us. So it's a combination of fact and nice folklore, plus the dishes. So it's really, a lot of it, it's really Chinese-American, of course, because things like General Tso's chicken and fortune cookies and crab rangoon are originated in America. But they're related, so it's a really very nice book and nicely illustrated, and the text is of a level that it's not for a younger kid, so it's suitable for all ages if you're interested in food. Really, I think it's a nice it's a good one for the food lover. A little bit different.
I'll also mention Murtaugh by Christopher Paolini. Newest one, if anybody was obsessed with Aragon, this is another book in that world. And last time I checked, but don't quote me on it, we had signed copies. So a really nice gift for an Aragon fan.
I love that. Also, I know that Lost Library is in the catalog, and that I think two or maybe three of our coworkers on the kids' side have staff picked that. So that is a good middle grade book for a lover of books.
Nice.
I mean, unless you want to jump in, I can do a few more from my
list.
Sure. Oh, and I have one other thing I want to mention.
Okay, cool. A few others before I jump fully into my rapid-fire horror. Murder Your Employer, The McMaster's Guide to Homicide, Volume 1 by Rupert Holmes. Get this for your employer. No, just kidding. Get this for the person in your life who loved a series of unfortunate events as a kid and is now all grown up. It's super fun. It's very, twee and droll and hilarious at the same time. Like, it's a guy finds himself at Well, first he tries to kill his boss, and then finds himself at the McMaster's Conservatory for the Applied Arts, which is a school where they teach you how to kill people.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. It's great. If you have someone in your life who likes that thing where there's a fairy tale and it gets totally, like, flipped on its head, Thornhedge by T. Kingfisher is delightful. It is a totally different version of Sleeping Beauty. And it is, you are following the perspective of the fairy who is keeping Sleeping Beauty asleep, and oh, she's got good reason to keep her asleep. And there's a prince who's there to rescue the sleeping princess, and the fairy's like, please don't. Oh, dear God, please don't. It is really good, really fun. A little bit dark, but not too bad. Really cute. And then let me just see if I have any others. I think all the rest of mine are horror, so we can do some other things, and then I'll get into my rapid-fire horror list.
Yeah. A couple that I want to mention. Well, one that I have and enjoy greatly is the Shakespeare's First Folio. It was put out by the British Library. It's a facsimile edition because it's the 400th anniversary of the publication of the First Folio of Shakespeare, which was the first collected works of his plays. And if you like are interested in Shakespeare but have only really looked at him in a, you know, modern edition, there are editors do a lot of work on those plays. Like, not, and that's, they need to, but like modernization of spelling and making things more consistent in terms of spelling and names. The characters will, like, the little prompt will be like three different names for one character over the course of the play. So if you want to go into that kind of more in depth, or if you are just a real big fan of Shakespeare, or you have a person who's a real big fan of Shakespeare, it's a really beautiful edition, and I have it at home and I really like it. And it's lovely. And then we also have a facsimile of Audubon's Birds. It's a baby folio, or baby elephant folio, that's what it is, because the elephant folio is the original one. If anybody wants to come in and talk about folios and watch me fold paper and explain to you what a folio is, I've done this a few times for people. Who knows? Cornering people, explaining to them what these things are. And so it is Audubon's American Birds book, which is a absolutely massive book if you've ever seen a real one, and this one's a little bit smaller, but it is still
big.
It is still big, and it is still,
it's a baby elephant.
Yeah, it's a baby elephant. And then we also, the other one we have behind the counter is the Walt Disney
the 100 years of, which I bought
the Art of
immediately.
Walt Disney.
Yeah, the Art of Walt Disney.
The 100th.
Yeah.
Disney 100 this year, and I bought that so instantaneously. It like came out, and I was like, I can't believe you even tried to put this on the shelf instead of just in my hands. Like, obviously I'm buying this.
Yeah, so just, we have some really nice special edition, facsimile editions, what have you. We also have some special edition of, deluxe editions of Lord of the Rings.
Yes, and the Silmarillion.
And the Silmarillion, so.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, they have real leather covers.
Ooh.
Which is why they're not inexpensive. Yeah. And they're illustrated. They have, you know, all nice maps, the nice maps and stuff. So it's
they're Tolkien's original illustrations.
Yes,
So they're very, like, definitely
very nice.
even if the person in your life who likes Lord of the Rings already has the Lord of the Rings, like, get them this. They will worship you. Because it's really beautiful, and it's a really nice collector's edition that anyone who's a big fan of the Lord of the Rings will deeply appreciate these.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was going to mention the elephant folio.
It's
very expensive,
but it's
beautiful.
It's beautiful, and it's, you know, printed at the highest quality possible in today's world. So the prints will be fantastic, almost as good as owning an original, you know, which would be a lot more money.
would be a lot more money.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, Audubon is very collectible and still very popular.
Yeah.
Despite his personal failings, but we won't get into that.
I don't know this drama. Okay, I can't wait to go home and look this up.
Well, he was, you know, a product of...
That's fair. That's...
An earlier time. So, and he killed a lot of animals to
he
make
his painting.
He did
kill a lot of animals.
Anyway.
Anyway, sorry.
So that, I mean... So there are a couple other, I'm glad Joe mentioned those. I was going to mention all of those books, but there's a couple others I'd like to mention. For gift books, Bob Dylan, Mixing Up the Medicine.
Oh,
it's a nice
yeah.
coffee table book of Bob Dylan. It's put together by the Bob Dylan Center, which is a thing, like a museum to Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Or
that's fun.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, for some reason.
Sure.
That's
amazing.
Where it is. And so it's like Dylan throughout his career, all kinds of nice pictures of artifacts and him and, you know, so, that's a good one for the music fan. Another one is Philip Glass, Philip Glass Piano Etudes. It's a collection of Philip Glass's piano etudes. It's a big box and it's something for someone you'll know who will want it. It's someone who's into very modern music, maybe plays the piano. So we don't expect to sell a lot of them.
It's for a very specific
if we don't sell one or two. Yeah.
Person.
And it's
you,
a very cool thing if you're
into
Philip Glass, into his music, into modern music.
In college, I was in a play called Philip Glass Buys a Loaf of Bread.
Sure.
And I will never, never recover. Because it is a play done in the style of a Philip Glass piece of music. And so parts of it repeat and then move on and then go back and then repeat again and then get twisted. And I'll never recover. I'll never recover. It was great. I loved it. But dear God. Yeah. Look up Philip Glass buys a loaf of bread. If you ever want to feel like you've dropped acid, just watch a production of that or listen to a production of it because whew, it's a time. Shall I rapid fire go through my
horror
list?
Do some rapid fire horror.
Yes.
Let's do it. All right. Out There Screaming by Jordan Peele.
Yes.
Get this first.
Yeah.
The person in your life who loves Jordan Peele's horror movies.
Also, if you get that one by Never Whistle at Night, too, it's another great anthology of horror.
Yes, indigenous horror.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Mm. Indigenous horror and black horror. Get it.
Yes.
Mayfly by CJ Lead. Get this for the person in your life who is both a Disney adult and also obsessed with horror. Please keep in mind that this one is extremely graphic, so don't give it to a teenager. Please. Please, I'm begging you. Black River Orchard by Chuck Wendig. We have signed copies. Get this for the Stephen King fan in your life who needs to branch out from Stephen King. The Edge of Sleep by Willie Block and Jake Emanuel. Get this for the person in your life who loves A Nightmare on Elm Street. It's really good. The September House by Carissa Orlando. This is for the person in your life who loves ghost stories and appreciates when the Haunted House book is also a metaphor. In this case, the metaphor is domestic violence, so keep that in mind when you're gifting it, but it is extremely good and has shades of like Grady Hendrix. Like it's comedic in addition to being quite heavy and gorgeous. Bloom by Delilah S. Dawson. Get this for the person in your life who is a fan of Hannibal and also thinks there aren't enough female villains in horror.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Only One Left by Riley Sager. This is for the person who is deeply fascinated by Lizzie Borden. this book is basically like, what if Lizzie Borden had grown up and lived an extremely long life and was now living in a house and needed a caretaker?
She kind of did.
Oh, well, yeah.
She drove around around town with her dog. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So that's...
Yes, anyway.
That's this book. How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix. Get this for the person in your life who loves horror and thinks that puppets are terrifying and also likes family drama. It's great. I've read it 4 times. Like, just trust me. It's great. Black Sheep by Rachel Harrison. Get this one for the person in your life who has a little bit of religious trauma, has some complicated relationships with their parents, loves horror movies. Just, yeah, it's great. What Kind of Mother by Clay McLeod Chapman. My blurb for this one is, get this for the person in your life that you would like to deeply disturb. It is, everyone who reads this book just screams WTF over and over and over again, but they all love it. So, it's, yeah, I will say maybe don't get it for a new parent. Because there's bad things happen to children in this one. So maybe avoid it for, like, parents, unless you know that they're down with parental horror. But for everyone else, it's great. and then I think the last one on my list for now is Camp Damascus by Chuck Tingle. Get this for the spooky queer in your life. It's great. It's delightful. And Chuck has a new one coming out next year called Bury Your Gaze. So get them Camp Damascus and then pre-order Bury Your Gaze for them. And then it's like you're giving them 2 books at once because then they have a future book to get excited about. So, All right, that's my rapid fire horror list. Most of these are my staff picks. So they're all on the website. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
All right.
Others that we want to do before we wrap up?
Just, I want to mention The Mysteries.
Yes.
By Bill Watterson and John Casht.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
He does have a co-author, of course. Bill Watterson, the great Bill Watterson, drew Calvin and Hobbes in the 80s and 90s, and then he thought he had done what he could with it, so he stopped. And he hasn't done too much since, but, I mean, he's lived his life, and I'm sure he's done many things, but he hasn't published too many books. But now this is a book, sort of a fable, heavily illustrated by he and Mr. Casht, and it's a great book and would make a great gift, I think.
I've been so intrigued by that
one. It's a staff pick.
Yeah.
I think Ben?
That one really took me by surprise because I saw it, like, you know, for pre-order and what have you, and then we came in, and then we just kept selling it, and I was like, what is happening?
Well, and, like, the cover, you look at the cover, and then you're like, wait, Bill Watterson.
Right.
It can't be that one, because, like, that's not his vibe. Yeah, and then, but, yeah, there are definitely people in your life who would be like, oh, my God, he has a new book.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Others? And
can I just make a mention, please? If you're struggling to find a gift for someone, the Best American Series of Anthologies always makes
good.
A great gift.
Yes.
They come out every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's best. They have Best American Short Stories, Best American Mysteries, Best American Science Fiction and Fantasy, and their stories from the previous year.
Yeah.
Best American Essays, Best American Science and Nature Writing. Did they still have that? There's a few that have dropped off. But
yeah, they have like sci-fi fantasy.
Oh, and I said essays, yes.
Essays.
It's always a good bet because the quality is consistently high.
Absolutely.
It's
and the chances that they'll like at least one or two of the stories are pretty high, like in terms of. They're not stuck with the same story the whole time.
It's a good way to learn about new authors and new writers.
I love anthologies great. As gifts.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in any genre, if the only thing you know about the person is that they like a certain genre and you're not sure what they've read, get them an anthology. Exactly. Because yeah.
And then follow up and be like, what stories did you like? What are the authors I should yeah. buy for you next Christmas?
Yeah. Because, yeah, I you know, read Out There Screaming, the Jordan Peele anthology, yeah. And now I'm reading a book by Tanana Reeve Dew, who wrote yeah. one of the stories in Out There Screaming, because I loved her story so much that I was like, oh, there's an author that I want to read more of.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes, and especially, I don't know, I've always thought that, I mean, science fiction especially, a lot of the best science fiction were short stories.
100%, yeah, and so good.
Because they, you know, they don't, they take the idea and they do what needs to be done with it, and then they, mm-hmm. then you're done.
Well, yeah, I think I've said this before to, like, Ryan and Sam, is that I think horror can be really good mm. as a short story, because you can keep the tension and just, like, it's all, it avoids a lot of over-explanation. It's really
yeah.
focused in on the horror.
Yeah.
And again, if somebody can do horror well in a short format, there's a good chance that they're going to write an interesting novel
yeah.
in the book as yeah. well.
Agreed.
Definitely. Excellent.
Yeah. Thanks. And of course, you know, we have all of these recommendations, but if you can come in to the store and talk to our booksellers, because this is honestly our favorite time of year, because there's so much good stuff out and we love handing you a huge pile of books and telling you all about
we
them.
We should mention the bookseller bundles.
Yes. We currently have an in-store display, which we will keep up through the holidays, where our booksellers are selecting books to put into little bundles. Some of them have specific themes, and then some of them are just, I don't know, I like these three books. Maybe you will too. And they're really, really fun. We've been having so much fun with them. I posted a bunch of them on our social media, but they will continue to change throughout the holiday season. So stop in and browse them. You do not have to buy the whole bundle. You can pick one of the books if you want. If you see a bundle, a lot of people have seen, like, Ashley's bundle has yeah. three books that most people have read, like, two of them, and so mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, well, I loved those two, let me grab yeah. this third one. That's been happening a lot. So
and if you're not in the store, you can, like, look on social media and buy the books in the bundle yeah. or shoot us an email and be yeah. like, hey, I like this person's
yeah.
taste, what else do
what
they
else
have?
They got so yeah, so that's been fun. Yeah, come in and check out our displays, because throughout the holidays we come up with some really fun display ideas. And again, yeah, talk to our booksellers. It's why we're here. And we'll help you find all the good gifts for the folks in your life. And we'll also hand you a holiday catalog, because yeah. we have hundreds of them.
You just want to wallpaper your house, whatever.
Yeah,
just...
it's got cute art on it.
It's very nice.
It's very pretty. The New England Book Award finalists are at the end, so I just want to yeah. look. Scorched Grace by Margaret
yeah.
Nwaihe. Really, really good. Thistlefoot by Jenna Rose Nethercott. It's a Baba Yaga story. Incredible.
I'm going to mention, I'll jump in on Scorched Grace, a great for a mystery fan sequel, is coming out. It's called Blessed Water. It comes out in March, and we're having an event.
Yeah, we are.
With and another local author.
Yes.
So it's fantastic. Very funny. Go.
Yeah. So yeah, there's lots of good stuff, and there's so much more that we didn't even get to. So yeah. Come in, check it out, chat with us, shoot us an email. If you can't make it into the bookstore but you want some bookseller recommendations, you can always email us. We're happy to help you out however we can. So, all right. Let's get into this wrap-up, shall we?
Let's.
A quick reminder about our partnership with our buddies over at Libro FM. Listeners who are new to Libra FM can receive 2 digital audiobooks for the price of 1 credit by using the code LAYDOWN at checkout when they start a new membership. And also, you can gift audiobooks over the holidays. You can do, you can gift memberships, you can gift individual audiobooks. If you head over to Libro.fm/Gibson's Bookstore, you can find all of the links to their holiday gifting stuff. They're great. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on most of them. and we'll put all of those links in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review.